How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome into the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Jam Packard, one of the reigning Jays, I guess, and joined by one of the original Jays. What was that?
Sort of, yeah. But I'm the original Jay, Jay King from MassLive.com.
And the Celtics actually played basketball on a real court. They went up and down it. They ran, and it was a nice change of pace from all these training camp stories. And you, Jay King, were in the building.
It is true. I was in Amherst. I was at UMass, the Mullen Center, where I used to go to games a lot there when I was younger. They used to have a lot better teams back then. Lou Rowe, man. I was a big Lou Rowe fan. I had his jersey back in the day.
The only UMass team I remember is Marcus Camby, and they lost to Big Country Reeves, and that's about as much as my UMass basketball memory.
Oh, the Big Country reference. We're already off to a great start.
I know. That's what happens when you put me in the lead chair. But let's let's focus on the actual basketball game. The loyal listeners have heard my thoughts and John's thoughts on the game last night. So I want to hear your thoughts. You saw this team live. What was your first impression, especially of that starting unit?
First impression of the starting unit was, wow. Like, you know, Al Horford is a lot better at basketball than Jarrett Sullinger. That is something everyone knows. He's a four-time All-Star. Everyone knew he was going to be an upgrade. To see it in action against another team, and granted it was the Sixers, and granted Joel Embiid was just kind of playing his first game in 2 years, but to see Al Horford in action and to see all the things he did in the first 5 minutes, he did just about everything. He had a jumper. He was taking the pick and roll. He was facilitating unbelievable ball movement that led to Avery Bradley threes, Jay Crowder threes. He was guarding the Philadelphia 76ers' smaller big, which Sullinger never did last year. He was always the defensive center. And just to see it all in action and just how much Horford is going to change things, it was startling. And even though I knew it was going to be like that, even though it was obvious that Horford was going to upgrade a lot of areas, to see it in action and to see how much he actually changes for the Celtics for the first time was like, whoa. And I don't even think by his standards he had a great game. It was like he threw the stupid pass to Isaiah Thomas that was picked off. He threw a long outlet pass away. Like, he'll have better games, but he's just so much better than any big guy they had on the team last season.
Yeah, just that first possession where they did a pick and pop, and you were actually confident the pop guy was going to make the shot. It was a totally new world of, like, watching the Celtics.
It was a weird feeling, like, to believe that was going in on a big man and a pick and pop. That never happens unless it's Kelly Olynyk.
Now you're more of a flash. You're more of an NBA connoisseur than I am. Is Horford always been known for a guy who can put it on the floor after defensive rebound and lead the fast break? Because that was a part of this game that was kind of surprising to me. A welcome surprise, definitely.
Yeah, and it's fun because all of them can push it. Like, Isaiah Thomas gets a rebound. Obviously, he can push it. But Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Horford, maybe not Amir Johnson, but 4 out of 5 guys, if they get the rebound, can push the fast break and really start transition offense. And the Celtics, they struggled really hard in the half court last year. I think Horford will help that, but he'll also help them in the full court. And honestly, like, seeing him on the court was just eye-opening because even though you knew everything he was going to do, he just does a lot of things really, really well. And he made their offense pop, and their offense doesn't normally pop.
No, that's not something they're known for. It's all about kind of creating points in transition, which will also help with. But just like kind of just dribble handoffs with him. There was one play, I brought this up last night, but there's one play where he did a dribble handoff to Avery Bradley, then found a wide open Isaiah. just his ability, you just like the how much respect the defense has to give him in that situation, it just spaces up the floor some more. It kind of we're all right. We're all saying that he was gonna help in spacing, especially with the offense, and he did a great job with that. Now the other point we brought up was kind of Jay Crowder's catch and shoot abilities and Avery Bradley's playmaking. Was that overblown by us, or did you think those were also kind of steps in, or improvements made by those two players?
I'm not sure with regards to the to either one, really. Crowder was a pretty good catch and shoot guy last year, like especially before he got hurt. His first injury was in February. The previous 3 months, he was like 37, 38. 36%, so he was pretty good. You guys thought that he was a lot quicker with his release. I wasn't sure about that. Maybe it was a little quicker, but it wasn't like he was taking a ton of time last year. I'm not convinced that was a huge change. Avery Bradley, I think that was a product of Al Horford, and I think they're going to run more pick and rolls, and Avery Bradley will probably be used more in those pick and rolls just because you're going to do it on both sides and you have two guards, and it's not always going to be Isaiah Thomas. So yeah, I thought Avery did a nice job, especially in the pick and roll with a lot of pocket passes. And I think that's all Horford, man. Like, Bradley, he made some strides in that area last year. And now Horford kind of helps out everything. And I do think they'll run a lot more pick and rolls with him because you want the ball in Al Horford's hands. You want to run your offense through your big guy. And the easiest way to get him with an advantage is to run that pick and roll and give it to him. And obviously, especially that first 6-7 minutes when – they built it. The Celtics built a huge lead and scored a ton of points right away. Horford was just his impact was so evident.
Now you got to go in the locker room, and something me and John did not get to do. So first question: did you miss me?
I did miss you. Yes, very much.
So it was like noticeable that I wasn't there. So good. Second question:
Isaiah Thomas asked about you.
I doubt Isaiah Thomas knows my name. I think the only person who may have known me was Evan Turner, and he's gone. So no one's missing me in that locker room. but my real question was kind of what was the Horford – did he say anything interesting after the game about kind of acclimating to the Celtics offense? And after that, what was Stephen's impression of kind of adding Horford to the mix?
It was really funny because before the game, Jay Crowder was talking about how the first unit – was just clicked right away, and Al Horford was like this seamless fit, and he said he's the perfect guy. He didn't say for our team, he said for our offense, which I thought was interesting because you think like Horford's going to make more of an impact defensively. I think it's their offense that he's going to help out more because his shooting is so different than Sullinger's. His pick and roll ability, so different than Sullinger's. So I would say his offense will help them the most. And then It was really funny because after Crowder said, yeah, we clicked right away, and Horford's this perfect fit, especially for our offense, Horford was like, yeah, actually, I didn't feel that comfortable in the first few days of practice, and I didn't think this game was going to go nearly this well. So, but obviously, he's starting to get acclimated. It's not a tough adjustment because they're not asking him to do anything that he doesn't normally do and do really well. He came to the Celtics partially because they wanted him to handle the ball and they wanted him to do all the things that have made him a four-time All-Star. And obviously, you know, he was really comfortable doing the things that Brad Stevens wants from him right away.
Now, I'm guessing Brad Stevens didn't say anything interesting because that's not something he normally does. So let's move on to the second unit, which did not nearly have as much success. I thought the most interesting dynamic on the second unit is the kind of the question we've been talking about all offseason is who's going to be the point guard. So it's directly comparing Terry Rozier's play to Marcus Smart, and neither of them were that great, especially in the second and third quarter. They kind of brought up their energy in the fourth quarter and got better results, but kind of. Right now, after one really small sample size, who would you think is the kind of the more prepared to be that second ball handler off the bench?
I think Rozier's more dynamic and probably more equipped to give them the playmaking that they need. But that bench, right now, I think that's the biggest question mark. You know you're going to get production from your starters. They have two All-Stars. They have Jay Crowder, who was borderline All-Star last year. He was pretty close to getting voted to the All-Star team. He was arguably at the All-Star break before the injuries and everything like that, the Celtics' most important player. So you're going to have a good, maybe great starting lineup. It's the bench, and especially that backcourt. Where do they get that playmaking when Isaiah Thomas isn't on the court? So, and it wasn't a promising start. Like, everyone's talked about how great the second unit has been in practices and how they've really kicked the starters' butt every day. That was not at all the case. When Al Horford sat, when Isaiah Thomas sat, the Celtics, they looked lost and they looked lethargic and they were stagnant and they didn't appear to know what to do. Obviously, it changed a little bit in the fourth quarter. Smart and Rozier, especially, they played a lot better and looked a lot more comfortable in that time. But that's something they're going to have to figure out. They're going to need to score when Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford aren't in the game. And they're going to need to find a playmaker. And I think it's going to be Rozier. I would suspect it's going to be Rozier from what everybody's saying about him. And I do think he also has just, as I said, he's more dynamic. He can snake around the pick and roll. He can get to the paint. To me, he's more of a, not a point guard, because I hate the term point guard now, because a lot of lead guards are like Isaiah Thomas. They're scorers first, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to be like this pass first guy anymore in the NBA. You have to be able to score the basketball. But to me, he's just a better playmaker than Marcus Smart at the point of attack. And so to me, you play Smart. And maybe that hurts Smart. I don't know, because Smart has not been a great shooter. You got to figure out ways to get those guys to produce for you, whether it's Smart on the ball, Rozier on the ball, and that's the biggest question to me. So I think it's Rozier, but if that hurts Smart, then maybe Rozier should be off ball because he's a better shooter. So there's a lot that Brad Stevens has to figure out with that second unit, I think. Nothing about that second unit, especially on the perimeter. I think the front court, Tyler Zeller, did not look great, I thought. He was one of the guys who was disappointing to me. That front court, you know you're going to have Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Jerebko. I would guess that those are going to be the two guys. I would feel very comfortable staying that. In the backcourt, you've got four guys fighting for two, maybe three spots in Gerald Green, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart. Obviously, Smart's going to play a ton of minutes. But those other three guys, I think it's safe to say Rozier will play a big role. But what happens with Gerald Green and Jaylen Brown, man? That's, to me, one of the biggest questions, too, moving forward.
Well, let's talk about Jaylen Brown. We all saw the Twitter kind of hype train when he got those dunks in the few plays, and no doubt they're impressive. But they were against what, the Sixers' third string, and is kind of in garbage time.
Third string power forward, yeah.
So if he's going against a third string power forward in a small, like the Celtics are playing small, and like, yeah, sure, that's exactly what he's supposed to do. But other than that, is Jaylen Brown going to be trusted to kind of step in and play team defense? And he did not contribute, especially in the second and third quarter when the offense was stagnant. It's not like he was able to really jumpstart it. I mean, we haven't seen Gerald Green at this point, but again, it's just like we have no idea who's going to be playing that backup small forward. And I don't know what James Brown is. I'm not James Brown, Jaylen Brown. James Brown would be a wild story. What he did to help his cause. I mean, of course he's going to get the highlight dunks, but I'm guessing that doesn't impress Brad Stevens.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he had that really nice post move right away. First touch, like fade away on the baseline. That was like, whoa, he's got some stuff to him. But yeah, I will say this. He does some rare things. He does some really rare things. Not everybody could kill Rashawn Holmes like Jaylen Brown did, even though it was obviously a mismatch, even though it was a Sixers third string big man, even though Jaylen Brown will probably never get defended by a guy that slow during the regular season. He is absolutely a freak. And to me, he is going to have to be the beneficiary of good offense. He is not going to sit there and break guys down and be like a go-to guy right away. But if they can get good offense and get him cutting and teach him where he can get those closeouts like he got against Holmes, he has such an explosive first step that maybe he'll be able to make a difference that way. He wasn't great, I didn't think. He especially in the first half. Like, he dribbled one ball off his foot. He had one move where he went to the hoop and got tied up. He tried that wild dunk on Joel Embiid, which would have been really exciting, but if it had gone. And it was kind of exciting anyway with Embiid getting the block. But he needs to get a lot better at recognizing his spots. I did think his performance at the stretch power forward was pretty impressive. And I don't know if that's a position he'll be able to play a lot this year, because they do have Jarebko and they do have Olynyk and they do have Amir Johnson and Al Horford and Jay Crowder, who all see minutes at the four and or five. So to me, he's going to have to prove himself as a small forward. And like you said, I'm not sure he did a great job of that, but he's 19. And I think this kid, he has enough stuff to him that he needs minutes, man. He needs to develop. He's too much of a talent to sit at the end of the bench all year and not play. I think that kid needs minutes.
Now, did he say anything? He's a quite an intelligent and interesting specimen. After the game, and come out his kind of first action in the NBA.
My favorite quote was when someone asked him if he was surprised that Brad Stevens ran a post up for him on his first play, and he said, "You can't be surprised, man. I'm in the NBA. You got to be ready." It was like, all right, Jalen. Like, we won't ask you if you're surprised again, man. Like, you're prepared for anything, no doubt. Your first preseason game, I'm sure you were prepared for anything that came your way.
Is he one of those guys that's like completely serious the entire time, like when you're talking to him, and he's just like never going to crack a joke?
He has like a monotone voice. He definitely cracks jokes, and he has a good sense of humor, I think. But even when he gets excited, it's kind of monotone. There's not a lot of inflection in that voice of his.
That's fair. I keep on expecting him just to kind of like give the craziest answers and just like really, really deep thoughts after every game, and then I'm mildly disappointed when he doesn't.
Yeah, no. The most amusing quote about him, maybe, I don't know. The best quote about him was from Terry Rozier, who said that when the game slows down for him, he is going to be scary to a lot of people. That is going to be a scary, scary man. Watch out for Jaylen Brown. He's like those clowns popping up everywhere. He's going to be super scary.
Yo, stay woke on those clowns. It's a false flag type thing. They're completely made up. No clowns actually exist.
I think there are some clowns out there, man. I'm talking to one right now.
Oh, touche!
That was a bad joke. That was too.
It wasn't the best joke, but it kind of stunned me, and I had zero comeback. So right now we're going to move on to the Reigning Jays questions. You asked for them on Twitter. Use the hashtag Reigning Jays if you want us to answer pretty much any question. There was a question that you said was interesting about Jaylen Brown's vision. I know we just spent a little bit talking about him, but I wanted to get your impression as like his vision at this point and kind of what he needs to improve. Because there's a lot of situations where he just barrel rolls into the basket, and sometimes it works and he dunks, and sometimes it just turns into a turnover. And I'm sorry to the person who asked that question. I cannot find your handle right now. But if I find it, I'll shout you out.
I've got it right here from Michael at mburns37. Shout out to Michael. Thoughts on Jalen's vision? I saw a couple of good passes in the scrimmage, and he had 4 assists versus Philly. I've been pleasantly surprised by his vision. Coming out of college, you know, one of the knocks against him was offensive awareness, and he didn't show too much of that comfort level of being able to spot teammates open and run the offense well and be efficient in all those areas. Well, he was pretty good against Philadelphia. I thought one of his nicest plays was the drive. I think it was to his left, and he slipped a pass underneath to one of the Celtics big men for a wide open bucket. He had a couple nice driving kicks, although he doesn't always know like what the hell he's doing when he goes to the hoop. There are times like he just goes, and he doesn't think it out, and it's just kind of like, oh, well, I'm really athletic. I'll see what happens when I get there, and that doesn't really fly yet at this stage of his game. He also had one pull-up that Brad Stevens probably went. He, like, rocked the body a little bit, pulled up for like a 17-footer early in the shot clock. Chill out a little bit, Jalen. Find your spots. Learn how to find your spots. But it's going to be a learning process for him. And he has shown a little bit of vision, and probably more vision than I anticipated at this point of his game.
You're right. He's got to figure out the kind of – and for some reason, this always reminds me of a young Chauncey Billups. And I don't know if this is accurate or not, but this is just what I remember about Chauncey Billups with a Celtic, is that he would always go up and never know what he was going to do until he reached the top of his jump. And so a lot of the times he would like be reach the top and then realize he had to pass it. And it feels like Jaylen Brown has a lot of moments like that. And please, someone check me on that who is not 7 years old when Chauncey Billups was playing for the Celtics. If I'm completely wrong, tell me. But that's just kind of what I think of as Chauncey Billups syndrome. So it's you know, he's 19. He's going to figure it out.
I love how you might just be making shit up about Chauncey Billups on this podcast.
Why not? Is Chauncey listening? If Chauncey's listening, I apologize to you, Chauncey. But if he's not, I'm going to make anything. I'm going to say what I want.
That's why you come to the Rain and Jays, though, because we make up shit about, or maybe don't make up shit about Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, if I'm 100% correct, then we're golden.
Yeah, I like Brown. The thing about Jaylen Brown is he shows a little bit of everything. Like every once in a while, he'll throw a dribble move that makes you say, "Whoa." And obviously he's a ridiculous athlete, like next level athlete, strong. He's got the burst. He's got, and he also has shows like he had that drive. He got the defensive rebound, drove the length of the floor, left a no look dish to Jonas Jerebko. Like he's done a little bit of everything. He's rebounded. Like it's going to take so long for him to realize whatever he's going to become. But the kid's got some stuff to him in a lot of different areas. He's a really, really interesting talent.
Do you think Celtics fans are going to be patient enough? Because I just don't – every time he does anything, Twitter explodes. And I just don't think he's going to get enough minutes. And so many people are just going to be saying, got to play the kid, play the kid.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like last year the Celtics only played – when they were healthy, they only played two – perimeter guys off the bench, and that was Marcus Smart and Evan Turner. Obviously Evan Turner's gone, and he had a lot of minutes, like 28 minutes per game to split up between somebody, whether it's Terry Rozier, Gerald Green, or Jaylen Brown. But I don't think they're going to play all four of those guys, so you might have the case where Brown is fighting Gerald Green for minutes. And who wins out? Is it going to be Green because he can shoot, because he can score, because he's a veteran presence? Or is it going to be Brown because he can guard multiple positions and he's stronger and because you want to develop him for the future? So that to me, that's something Brad Stevens is going to have to figure out. I don't know how much time Jaylen Brown's going to get. I have no clue, but we'll see. There's a lot to figure out about that perimeter bench, those four guys. Like, how do those minutes go? I don't really know. I don't know what it should be even. But Jaylen Brown, he's definitely an interesting, interesting talent.
All right, another reigning Jays question. Let's talk about two guys who are actually not going to get any minutes. This is from Dean Vasek. Do you make anything of the fact that James Young got more minutes than RJ Hunter?
Maybe. I was surprised Young got in before Hunter. I've kind of been under the impression all along that Young would be the most likely cut. And I say that because he hasn't shown much of anything, and he's a year further into his NBA career. And yes, he's younger than RJ Hunter, but he also has one fewer year left on his rookie contract, which could be a big deal. So to me, I've always thought James Young would be the best bet to be cut. But now, I don't know. He outplayed Hunter in the scrimmage. He outplayed Hunter again in the first preseason game. And Young wasn't great. It wasn't like he played an outstanding game, but he got to the hoop a couple times, hit a off-balance jumper, and he was better than RJ Hunter, which is all he needs to be to make the team. I don't know if that'll change. Like last year at this time, Tyler Zeller and David Lee were starting, and Jarrett Sullinger, everybody thought he was going to be out of the rotation entirely. Obviously, that changed. Things can change. There's still six preseason games left. There's still a lot of time for that competition to unfold. But right now, James Young, from what we see, and we haven't seen much, he looks like he's at least giving RJ Hunter a real run for that last spot. And maybe worse, maybe he's in the lead right now to get that roster spot.
They're both just kind of competing to be the guy who goes back and forth between Maine and Boston right now. And really, I don't know what RJ Hunter currently brings to the table. There's one wide open three that he completely looks shook on. But it's an interesting competition because it's the one roster decision that the Southerners are going to make. But if either of those two players are playing more than a minute a game this year, the Celtics have problems.
Yeah, I mean, and I think they're deep enough this year where those guys probably won't play. Like last year, they had literally it was like Marcus Smart and Evan Turner. Now you've got Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, Gerald Green, and Jaylen Brown, who are all clearly ahead of those guys. They definitely have more depth on the wing this year than they had last season.
All right, let's.
Obviously, Rozier isn't a wing, but I threw him in just as a perimeter guy because he'll be part of the mix.
That's fair. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I think it's our last reigning Jays question from Joey Rarden at AirRarden24. If you could spend the weekend in Vegas with any current Celtic, who would it be?
I think Terry Rozier would have to be up there, only because I've followed him on Snapchat and
there's video evidence that guy knows how to party.
There's video evidence that Terry Rozier has fun, and a lot of fun, and he has fun everywhere he goes. The Celtics organization is very adamant that Terry Rozier gets all of his work in and is a super hard worker and all that. But the man also knows how to have a good time. So I might go with Terry Rozier on this one. Probably Terry Rozier. Although if you went out with Isaiah Thomas, you'd have more cachet. Like you're with an all-star. He walks in somewhere. He's like, yeah, I'm Isaiah Thomas. What's up? So maybe IT? Maybe Kelly Olynyk, man. Kelly Olynyk, he knows people. He's like friends with Julian Edelman. He's friends with like a lot of guys. Kelly Olynyk, low key, great guy, I'm sure, to go to Las Vegas with.
I think it really depends on kind of what you're going for. If you want to be like get the most Vegas experience, I think you got to go with IT because there's a chance Floyd Mayweather might be there, and then you're doing crazy stuff with a guy who knows
what you're going to be doing with Floyd Mayweather.
If you want to be like the coolest guy in the entourage, then you definitely go with Kelly Olynyk. Just because by default that's what happens. Terry Rozier, he definitely knows how to have a good time, but he seems like, I'm also following him on Snapchat, it seems like he always has like four or five boys with him, so it seems like it'd be a crowded weekend. I'm gonna go with a surprise pick, which is not shocking. Uh-oh. If you gonna go with the big dog, Amir Johnson,
that guy. Huh? Okay.
That guy has an interesting Snapchat. He seems like he's always having a good time and cracking jokes. And I always found him to be kind of one of the funnier guys in the one of the low key funnier guys in the locker room. And I'm just trying to have a good time and have some laughs. So I'm going with Amir.
He also lives in Las Vegas, so he knows the area very well.
I did not know that.
Yep. See,
but right. I'm going to double down.
Now you know. Although Isaiah Thomas, the Floyd Mayweather thing. I think that might, like, I'm not a big Floyd Mayweather guy. I'm not a big boxing guy. I'm definitely not, like, about some of his past with women and all of that stuff. That is disgusting. But for one night in Las Vegas, I'm not sure there's a better person to be with than Floyd Mayweather, who lives in Las Vegas and has more money than almost anyone you'll ever meet. So yeah.
His mere presence opens up some doors for you that you just would never have access to in the history of your life.
Yeah, I'm not sure even Amir Johnson with the local knowledge can get you into some of the doors that Floyd can. I did want to answer one more question, and that's from Alex Kungu, my man Kungu. How many times will Jaylen Brown have to dribble with his left hand before we end the Jeff Green comparisons? This is a thing that comes up like all the time, the Jeff Green, Jaylen Brown stuff. Do you think he reminds you of Jeff Green at all?
Not at all. Like, I'm kind of shocked, and maybe I'm just blind to this, but I haven't seen that comparison. I guess kind of they're athletically, they're both kind of long and can do some things, but it feels like Jaylen Brown tries and wants to win basketball games. So the Jeff Green comparison just never really rang true for me.
Oh man, to me it's the ball handling stuff. Like he's not a great ball handler yet, but he could actually dribble a little bit, and he has like some moves already. Jeff Green never really developed any moves. He was just simply a straight line guy, and Jaylen Brown is mostly a straight line guy right now. That's where he's going to be at his best. But he's also a much more fluid athlete. The hips just move a lot better on that guy. Much better fluidity.
Yeah, I don't understand that comparison. Yeah, hopefully comparison, we can stop it now.
That's a lazy comparison. Let's throw that comparison out. Let's drop kick it. Let's smash it in the face with a basketball. Let's get rid of it. It's gone. We're deading that comparison right now. Next person who tweets me a Jeff Green, Jaylen Brown comparison, you will not be mentioned on this podcast. That is a promise.
No, you will be mentioned, and we will shame you publicly.
We will shame you, and then we will shun you. And
I might block you on Twitter. I'm real quick with the blocks.
Are you? I've never blocked anyone in my life.
I've only blocked like two people, and most of it was just like a goof block, but then I had to like stay with it because
you're thin skinned.
Or just stick to the goof.
You're thin skinned, bro.
Before we get out of here, I want to ask you just to a little bit of preview for tomorrow night's game, or tonight's game, I guess it would be, against the Hornets. What are you looking to for the Celtics to change? What should we expect from them going up against the Hornets?
I don't think much will change. I do think you want to see those guys, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, you want to see them, that second unit, get buckets against starters or second unit guys before it's garbage time, because that starting unit's going to be fine. I will say this over and over again: the starting unit will be fine. The bench needs to find it, needs to find something. It won't be a bad bench, especially once Kelly Olynyk gets back, but it could be a better bench, certainly a better bench than it was in game one against the Sixers. You want to see that offense come to life a little bit. It was just gross. There were stretches of that second quarter that were just despicable. And obviously it's game one. They've had 1 week of practice. There's still a lot of things to work on, especially with such a young group. That Rozier, 22. Smart, 22. Jaylen Brown, 19. So I want to see those guys grow and develop as the preseason goes along. And that group needs to learn how to score the basketball somehow, because Isaiah Thomas isn't going to be on the court all the time. Al Horford isn't going to be on the court all the time. You need to find ways for Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart to be the two guys that run a successful offense somehow. And I don't know. I think they'll be better, but you gotta find that. Gotta dig deep and pull that out of you. Shout out to Eminem.
Is that just a question of like aggressiveness? Like they just need to attack more? It sometimes confuses me when the offensive stalls completely, because it's like just pass and cut. Like there are simple solutions to be able to kind of like fix the isolation basketball.
Well, when you don't have much shooting and you don't have many playmakers and your big man's Tyler Zeller, who was struggling a little bit, then you can struggle a little bit. So yeah, they need a lot more cutting. They need a lot more player movement. But also, it's just they got to play better. And that group, if Gerald Green's not in, it's not going to have a lot of shooting. Smart isn't a shooter. Jaylen Brown isn't a shooter. I asked Terry Rozier if he considers himself a shooter now, and he said, I wouldn't say that. So. So he's
that's
not
the kind
a shooter
of
either,
to hear.
At least by his own standards. Even though I think he's shot the ball a lot better than people have caught on, as I believe you said in the previous podcast. But yeah, they gotta find something there. They gotta bring that out. Maybe Gerald Green will come and help that out. Obviously, Kelly Olynyk's going to lift the offense in that group if he does go to the second unit. So they'll get better. And those guys, especially Rozier, he hardly played last year. And when he did play, he certainly wasn't running the offense, running the show, and expected to make plays for a lot of guys. So it's all new to him, and it'll take a little bit of time.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see them play against, I know it's still the preseason, but against a team with a considerably more talent than the Philadelphia 76ers. The Hornets finished with the same record as the Celtics last year. So if the offense clicks just as well again, and that starting unit is that as impressive, then we may know. It's just growing the sample size. It's literally doubling the sample size for basketball. So I'm excited to see kind of against a team that's not a complete joke like the 76ers.
That position where Avery Bradley completely swallowed up Nick Stauskas in the corner, and Stauskas couldn't even consider getting a shot off, was just outrageous. It was like,
yes,
like, these guys do not even deserve to be in the NBA against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, Sauce Castillo is not doing that well in his NBA career.
Yeah, too bad. I had high hopes for him.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Make sure you tune in after the Hornets game with me and John Corrales. We'll give our immediate reactions. Jay King will be will you be joining us? Because you're not in North Carolina, or you'll be going to be writing.
I'm not sure. We haven't figured that out yet. We'll decide on a plan of action, and hopefully I'll be there.
At least two Jays will be with you tomorrow night to break down the entire Celtics game. But that's going to wrap it up for us here on the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.